You know, I know that part of this whole issue of going to bed on time really sometimes has to do with attitude. Now, don't get me wrong. I know that a lot of us have a lot going on, and sometimes it can just be kind of tricky figuring out what to take off the plate, how to adjust our list of things to do so that we manage our time better so that we can get to bed earlier. I know that's part of the trick for a lot of people. But for a lot of people, it's something else. It is about attitude. This is what I mean by that. We know we should be going to bed earlier, and if we really tried harder, we really could get to bed earlier at an hour that is better for our bodies and our emotions, our minds, our whole being to get the rest that it needs. But a lot of times the issue is there are just other things that we just want to be doing that are more important to us than getting our proper sleep. And so night after night after night, I mean, week after week, month after month, sometimes the issue is, let's just say out of 7 nights, there may have been 2 or 3 nights that we really could have gotten to bed on time. Whatever on time means for you, could have gotten to bed on time, but chose to go ahead and do some other things and do some other things and do some other things and end up, as a result, going to bed much later than was truly necessary. Attitude, priorities. I want to stay up so I can do this. I want to do that. I want to make this phone call. I want to watch that TV show. I want to. And a lot of times the issue is we want to do those things more than we want to get to bed on time. When, truth be told, getting to bed on time is the greater need. Yeah, we need to be in bed on time more than we need to be making that phone call or watching that TV show, whatever it is that we're doing that keeps us up later than we truly need to be up. And I'll tell you why I bring that up. It can be kind of surprising to find out how gratifying it can be to go ahead and get to bed on time. Now, I'm really not talking right now about how much better rested we'll be the next day when we get up. And I will say this too. If you've been abusing your body for months, maybe for years, and you go to bed on time tonight, you may be a little overly optimistic if you expect to wake up feeling real, real refreshed tomorrow. Our bodies are going to need some recovery time. So if we spent a long time, months, maybe years, abusing our bodies by not getting our proper sleep, it may take a little while, not years, but it may take a few weeks, literally, to get to the point where we're so consistently getting our proper sleep that our body is able to recover, because that has to happen first. Our bodies are able to recover from the years or the months of abuse and then get to square one and then get to the point where we truly begin to feel rested when we get up. But, you know, out of 7 days, 2 of those days, maybe 3 of those days, we could have gone to bed on time, but wouldn't. Just 2 or 3 out of 7. We wouldn't. And then, okay, I know I'll be able to get to bed on time such and such a night. And something comes up that night and you truly cannot get to bed on time. You truly need to be up taking care of business. That happens. That's why it's so important that when we can get to bed on time, we do get to bed on time. Because all too often, something can come up on one of the future dates that we decide I'll go to bed on time that night. Even though I could go to bed on time tonight, I want to do this or I want to do that. So I'm going to stay up tonight. And the next thing you know, the vicious cycle has continued another few months. So don't be discouraged if you go to bed on time one night, maybe even 2 nights on time and you still don't truly feel rested. Remember, our bodies have to recover from the abuse by having deprived the body and the emotions of sleep for so long. So give it some, give the body, give the soul some recovery time. Get back to square one and then expect to begin to feel better. What did you all decide about that pop quiz? Should we have one today? Oh, okay. You want a pop quiz, but just not today. I got you. Okay. That sounds good. I think that's a great idea. Okay. So we know we're going to have a pop quiz, but it wouldn't really be pop if I also told you what day it's going to be. Then that would be a test. No, if it's going to be a pop quiz, I got to be able to pop it in on you. I got to pop it on you. So we know it's coming. So just be ready now. All right. Advanced sleep phase syndrome. You might want to remember that. You remember some of our teachers used to tell us that? They already knew what they were going to be asking on the test or on the pop quiz or on the quiz. And they'd tell us, trying to help us prepare. You might want to remember that. Advanced sleep phase syndrome. Well, the sleep rhythm is shifted forward so that 7 or 8 hours of sleep are still obtained. Still need the same number of sleep, same number of hours of sleep, older people. Because I know, remember, for younger people, we're still talking 8 to 10 hours. But for older people, we're talking 7 or 8 hours of sleep. Still need that, but the individuals will wake up extremely early because they've gone to sleep quite early. Same number of hours of sleep. You're just getting them at an earlier part of your day or night. The reason for these changes in sleep and circadian rhythm as we age, really and truly, is not fully and clearly understood. But many researchers believe it may have to do with light exposure and treatment options for advanced sleep phase syndrome that typically include bright light therapy. Now, let's delve into this with each other. We see that from infancy on through teen years, the sleep patterns are changing. 10 years on into the senior citizen years, sleep patterns continue to change. What do we suppose is causing that change in the sleep patterns, and particularly as we move into the senior years of our lives? What do we suppose is attributed to that? And I know we talked about medication and the impact that it has on sleep patterns, etc. But let's just say all things are equal, and meaning we're in good health and we're on no medications. I know a lot of older people are on medications, but not all older people are. To keep it simple, let's just say no medications. They're not needed. What would be causing the change in sleep patterns? I'm thinking. You ever heard people talk about how we go through a cycle of from the point where we're not able to walk at all, and basically from infancy to older age, back to infancy? Think there may be some relevance to that, some merit to that in some areas of life? I'm not saying there is. I'm asking, what do you think? The prevalence of insomnia is higher among older adults. According to the National Sleep Foundation's 2000 Sleep in America poll, 44% of older persons experience one or more of the nighttime symptoms of insomnia at least a few nights per week or more. Insomnia may be chronic, where it lasts over 1 month, or acute, where it lasts a few days or weeks, and is oftentimes related to an underlying cause, such as a medical or psychiatric condition. It's worthwhile to speak to your doctor about insomnia symptoms and about any effects that these symptoms may have. Your doctor might be able to assess how serious a problem it is and what to do about it. When we come back, let's listen to something that the National Sleep Foundation shares with us about that on their site. I'll be right back.